Driving season is in full swing, and an unexpected car repair can cost hundreds, even thousands to fix, ruining your road trip. That's why I recommend getting extended coverage from CarShield. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your AC can cost as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield does the rest, getting them paid directly. Save yourself from high repair bills with CarShield. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. CarShield.com, a deductible may apply.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The president certainly felt that Anthony's comments were inappropriate for a person in that position.
Scaramucci! No mas! To our Spanish-speaking listeners out there, thanks for joining us on the Chad Benson Show. Scaramucci's out. That was 10 days. 10 days! It wasn't even 2 weeks. You couldn't make it 2 weeks. You could not make it 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 14 days. Man, think about this for a second. Look how long the likes of, I don't know, Michael Flynn, I think he lasted, what, 4 weeks, 3 weeks? Reince Priebus, 6 months? Whoo, long timer there. Sean Spicy Spicerson? Whoo, Scaramucci? Not so much. John Kelly, new White House chief of staff, said, you're out of here. I don't want you around. I think you're a joke, you're a loose cannon, and there's no credibility that you offer this administration or anything at all to the American people.
He didn't want to burden General Kelly also with that line of succession, but General Kelly has the full authority to operate within the White House, and all staff will report to him.
Must respect my authority. The mooch was gone like that. Now think about that. Guy went around but 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Everybody had something to say about the mooch. Everybody had something to, somewhere to chime in. Susan Collins talked about him over the weekend.
The president certainly has the right to choose whomever he wants, but I certainly hope that his new communications director strikes a different tone than he has in his first week on the job.
Yeah, well, you don't have to worry about that. As Mrs. Sarah Huckabee Sanders Juan Diaz Lopez tells us here.
He does not have a role at this time in the Trump administration. And we put out a statement earlier announcing that. And I don't have much else to add beyond it.
What else is there to say? He was here 2 weeks. Didn't even unpack his boxes. Because it was poor management. Poor management. No, this wasn't a brilliant idea to get rid of Reince Priebus and you know, Sean Spicy Spicer. And look, if you are the man, you're right, I'm the man, I run everything, it's my ship, I'm the dude who does it all, I am, this a buck stops with me, I'm the greatest of all time, did you read my book, greatest book ever wrote, next to the Bible, actually it's a tie, I mean, you know, this is the stuff you get, then you don't need somebody to come in and blast those guys out. This was poor management. And I'm blaming Trump on this. I am. I'm blaming Trump. Should never have been brought in. This guy had no place in the administration. He has no place in politics. And yes, that New York interview hurt him big time. And having John Kelly in the White House is the first sign over the last several months that I have seen that looks like some normalcy and cooler, calmer, saner heads are going to prevail. I would run on a skeleton crew for a while. I would find out who I can trust. I can find out everything I need to know about the people there. So if I need to thin one or two more, I can do that, and it's really not going to upset the apple cart. And we can start to put in place people that I trust if I'm John Kelly, because everybody's going to be reporting to me now, minus probably Steve Bannon. Everybody's going to report to me. But this, to me, sorry, more than just a joke. It's an embarrassment. I don't care what anybody says. You can text me all you want. Oh, you're wrong. You just don't understand the brilliant. No. Sorry. No defense. This was a horrible, horrible hire. Bad hire. Like, super bad hire. It was. It was an absolute, I mean, you know, the things that he said. What are you doing? What are you thinking? My goodness me. But it was 10 days of fun, and we have some of the greatness that was Anthony the Mooch.
I've interviewed most of the assistants to the president. I have a very, very good idea of who the leakers are, who the senior leakers are in the White House. But the White House leaks are small potatoes relative to Syria or North Korea or leaking things about Iraq. Those are the types of leaks that are so treasonous that 150 years ago, people would have actually been hung for those types of leaks. As you know from the Italian expression, the fish stinks from the head down. But I can tell you two fish that don't stink, and that's me and the president. You want to talk about the chief of staff? We have had odds. We have had differences. Some brothers are like Cain and Abel. I'm committed, as is the president, to building as clean of a shop as possible. No more dirty pool. No more dishonesty. No more ha-ha-ha to your face and then stab you in the back. Okay, we're New Yorkers. We don't want to run the place like that.
You call Donald Trump a hack?
He's a hack politician.
You're in trouble now.
I'll tell you who he's going to be president of. You can tell Donald I said this. The Queens County Bullies Association. You got to cut it out now and stop all this crazy rhetoric.
And like that, he was taken from us. Thank God. I had several people who are huge Trump supporters who thought this was a joke when he got hired and were very happy about this. And they've also questioned who's running what over there. But I tell you what, I have a feeling that for the first time, somebody wields real power inside of that White House who's not named Donald Trump. I have a feeling that John Kelly actually has some real power that is going to steady the ship. You're only as good at times as your management. And the management right now has been very poor. You can call it what you want. You can, oh, he's crazy like a fox. And he's, oh, you guys just don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. And think about this. If you're the Mooch, you've lost your what? Your wife's gone. She's going to divorce you. She's out of there. Got a new baby. Yeah. She's taking that thing. And all because you wanted to be such a massive part of this. And you were a part of it for 10 days. Wow. That's crazy. That's embarrassing. That is, again, you know, but if you look across, like, just take away a lot of this. Mike Flynn should never have been hired. Should have done better due diligence. Should have known better. Right? Sean Spicer, Ryan Priebus, in well over their head, should never have been hired ever. Ever. Shouldn't have been hired. The list goes on and on of people that probably shouldn't be in the positions they've been in, yet they're there. And this is where we are. This is where we are. And I look at it and I say, you know what? Management hasn't been very good. Management needs to be better. Management absolutely needs to be better. Speaking of management, Trump did talk about the new man that's managing everything, and that is General Kelly.
I just want to congratulate him on the great job he's done with Homeland Security, and I have no doubt that he will be an absolutely superb chief of staff.
Greatest person ever. Last guy was great, too, but this one's a smidge greater. How about you say, look, we needed to go in a different direction. We found a guy that we think is going to do that. He's going to right this ship, and we're going to start to get things moving in the direction that we need to get it going. And General Kelly is the person to do that. General Kelly is the kind of guy that's going to get this stuff done. You don't need to say he's the greatest of all time. You don't need to say he's the most amazing thing ever. You don't need to say that he's changed the world. You don't need to say any of those things. How about for once, you underpromise and overdeliver. How about just one time? You say, I think we got this. I think we're going to do okay. Just one, we're not asking for like every time. Just one time. Say, you know what? I think we got this. We have a chance. We could be okay. And then when you pull it off, you're like, see? How about, what do you like of them apples? Woo! Ba-da! Ta-da! How about that? How about that? The pressure's on. Because anytime you land there, boom. Right? Anytime you land there, you know he's going to give you all that praise. It's the greatest human being ever. Like if Producer Phil, if you were there, they're like, Producer Phil is the greatest producers in the history of mankind, in the history of all humanity. There has never been anybody greater than Producer Phil ever, 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 ever. And we have looked, but no, there's nowhere else for us to go.
And that's when you know that the clock starts to tick.
That's when your clock starts to tick. That's it. And the closer you are to him, the quicker your demise comes. You want to be in the room? But you don't want to sit on the couch with him, right? Like, if you're a comedian, your dream was being on Carson and having him invite you to the couch. It's the exact opposite. You want to go on stage with Trump, but you don't want to be the person. Come on over and sit on the couch because you know you're next. You know you're next. So the clock is ticking. So you don't want to be too. It's like being with Kim Jong-un, right? It's like the closer you get, the closer you get to him and in charge and the more power you have, the sooner you're going to die. So you want to be in the room, maybe in the corner, sitting on a chair by yourself. Like, that's a good amount. Like, you have all of the cool stuff and you get to do all this stuff. You get to fly on the plane. You get to talk to the president. You have some power. But at the same time, you don't have to worry about friendly fire taking you out. Throwing it out there. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Text the program there. Call us as well, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. The mooch is missing for good reason, as Kelly decided, you know what, we don't need you anymore. Thanks so much for the 10 days of service. And in fact, we're going to pay you for the whole month. Congratulations on being single. You're a bachelor now. What are you going to do with your time? You got plenty of it right now. You got plenty of it, Mooch. Enjoy it. Thank you. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. You can email us and also tweet at us at Chad Benson Show. What's next? Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next for the man that is in the hottest seat of all, jumping out of the frying pan straight into the fry cooker? That is new White House Chief of Staff John Kelly. What's next for him is a lot of stuff. New faces, new responsibilities, but also trying to get a hold of the chaos that's going on there. To find out why the lunatics, in some ways, are running the asylum, how things are getting out, you are now taking over a White House that at times seems to be not really going anywhere in particular. Fighting with people that we don't need to fight with, doing things that we don't need to be doing, i.e. tweeting at all hours and some crazy stuff, picking on our attorney general. That's fine, man. You want to look, you want to go after Jeff Sessions? Don't air it out. Don't air it out. And John Kelly has got a lot on his hands, says Mr. Podesta.
He's got to protect the Justice Department, and he's got to protect Bob Mueller and the investigation that's going on there from the continued assault by the president and by the White House.
He's going to tell him, look, Trump, let them do their thing. They're going to try to find some, and they're probably going to find something. Now, it's not going to be the thing that you think and that everybody else wants them to find. It's going to be something else that they think they can get something and somebody on. Let's let that play itself out. Because all this fighting is taking away from everything else. I'm going to figure out where the leaks are. I'm going to handle it. We're going to start to do things the right way. What's next for Kelly is handling business the way it should have been handled from day one. Putting out fires that have already been started, making sure that new fires don't get started, and actually righting the ship and allowing the president to just do that. Go be the president. Don't fight with anybody else. If there's politicking that needs to be done, let's do it behind closed doors. And if we can't get any of that stuff done and you want to air that laundry and you want to do that, that's fine. But let's try to do it this way for a while, because we've tried it the other way and it isn't working. What's next for him is he's got a lot on his plate. But I believe Kelly is the right person for this job at this moment. He needed to bring somebody in who he respected and trusted, but also somebody who could get the respect of the other people inside of the room. And why does this matter? I'll tell you why. I think Tillerson's a good man. I think he could do a hell of a job. I think he's getting tired of this stuff. I think there's some other good people out there that they look around and they think, I don't know if I want to be in on this. Having somebody like Kelly is going to be vitally important. What's next for him is over the next 3-4 weeks, getting everything sorted out, finding out who's who does what, what's your responsibility, who's leaking, where they're leaking. If we have to thin the herd, we thin a little bit more, button up ship, and let the president be the president. Best move the president's made to date, I think, is this one. But we'll see how it goes. That's what's next for John Kelly, the new chief of staff of the White House, the man running everything there, not named Trump. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Texter writes in about the firing of the mooch. It's easy to Monday morning quarterback. Of course it is. It's easy to Monday morning quarterback. But did you think Spicer was a great hire? I think we all knew from day one that wasn't a good hire, right? I mean, I'm thinking that. I think we all knew from minute one that the mooch wasn't a good hire. And Reince Priebus, people were saying before that that wasn't even a good hire. Rance Priskin was not a good hire. That's three people right away. And Flynn, they should have done more to figure out what was going on. So there's a lot of mistakes. And if you can fix the mistakes before they happen, guess what? There is no mistakes. Hiring right. Measure twice, cut once. But what ends up happening is when you make these bundles and boogles and flumbles and fumbles over and over again, people get sick and tired of it. And they don't want that. And then good people don't want to work for you. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Pledge of Allegiance. I did it as a kid. You probably did it as a kid. Your kids probably do it at school. Dwayne Nickel, Indiana Franklin High School former teacher, said, hey, kids, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. It's become an issue for a lot of people. Again, this is one of those things where you just go, all right, let's hear what you have to say. But everybody's going to have something to say. Un-American, communist, it's all out there. Doesn't matter. Right? Let's hear what the teacher had to say.
On the first day of school, I told the class that saying the Pledge of Allegiance is voluntary. After that, most of the kids stand up and do the pledge. There's only three or four, as I recall, that regularly did not say the pledge. And we didn't have any conversation. I did not express any personal opinion about the pledge. I have some, but I knew not to sermonize about that.
I have a feeling he's not a big fan, whether it be under God or whatever. He's probably not a huge fan. I have a seven-year-old. Seven-year-old's going to go to school. That's what seven-year-olds do. And guess what? Some point in time, there may be a situation like this. I thought to myself, what would I do in a situation like this? I said, Jack, you know what? I'll leave it up to you. Especially as an older person, I'm going to leave it up to you. Because I think that's what you do. I have no problems if you want to leave it up to kids and let them understand. Now, parents are saying, well, wait a minute here. It's not his. No. It's not his place. It's not his place at all to talk about stuff like that.
The principal showed me the school board policy on the pledge and told me it was not my place to tell the students that the pledge was voluntary. He said that was up to the students and their parents.
Well, I think the parents talk about it. I think you gave them a reason to talk. Let's be real. Half the reason that they don't want you to do this stuff because they don't have anything to say to their kids and don't want to talk to them and have a conversation. I think at some point in time, it's okay. Absolutely. I want my son to have some questions about authority and life and things like that. I think it's a good thing. I think that's a natural part of growing up. I don't want him to be indoctrinated. I don't want any of that. But I want him to have the opportunity to question stuff. That's part of life, is making those kind of choices and what they feel is right for themselves and whatnot. Isn't that what most of us want? Don't we want that for our children? So you got a teacher in Indianapolis who goes and does that. And, of course, you know, gets reprimanded for it. And, you knew that would happen. There's just some places where you probably get away with that a little bit more than others. But I don't feel, oh, man, this, you look at the comments and, oh, he's a communist. He's a horrible person. He's it's like he's not. I want my child to have opportunity to, I don't want it to be one way or another. I want them to be taught at school and I want them to grow. And I want him to, you know, as he gets older, to question certain things, because I think that's part of, I think people who question more often than not tend to be people who are intelligent. They're questioning things. I don't want him to be groupthink. I don't want him to be indoctrinated, which happens too often in education nowadays. But I have zero problems with people being able to say, look, if you believe it, knock yourself out. If you don't, okay. Not here to force it upon you or whatnot. Which, isn't that what we want in a lot of ways? It's just the opportunity. I hear too often than not we just want the opportunity. If somebody doesn't like something, they shouldn't have to participate in it, you know? We shouldn't ruin it for everybody else. But there are certain things where it's like, nope, this, everybody's got to do this. And I didn't find that to be one of these things where I thought, you know what? I have zero problem with this. A lot of people do. And the hate, man, he gets the hate. And I know I'll get it too. I'll get people emailing, you just don't get it. You're un-American. And no, I'm not. So shut up. I'm not a patriot. I love when people, you're a great patriot. I'm not a patriot. Oh my God. I would like to be a New England patriot, but I'm not. Isn't that weird, Producer Phil, when you hear people like on this other show, you're a patriot? Just like, shut up. What are you talking about? Patriot my ass. But dude, it's talking to you on the radio, throwing stuff out there, hopefully expanding your mind a little bit, making you laugh, making your drive to or from work a little bit easier. But how would you feel? Don't you like the opportunity of the teacher, rather than saying, you know, indoctrinating him, saying, look, it's optional. You can do it or not. Now, if they're six, they don't understand any of that stuff. But when you get to the point where you're in high school, this is when your mind should be opening. This is when you should be learning more and more. This is when you should be starting to form your own opinions, do those kind of things. I think it's a good thing. People say, Chad, it's a bad thing. Why? Because if you raise your kid at home and you talk to your kid, you should want your kid to have an open mind to stuff. Right? And you teach them and you want them to question things. And you teach them that. And you say, look, don't not do it because you're lazy. But if you have a belief of why you don't want to do it, that's on you. You're growing up. You're becoming a young woman, a young man. Should have those kind of thoughts. And if you believe in it, and you believe in what the pledge says, then you know what? You should do that because you believe in it. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, 844-344-2423. Text away. please do. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. The mooch is gone. People texting in about that. Somebody texted in and said, who would be next? And I said, you know, Betsy DeVos, education secretary. People say, oh, no, no, she's good. I said, you know what? I think she's got a lot of good ideas. Just because somebody has great ideas doesn't mean they're the people to pull it off. Right? Just because somebody has a brilliant idea, like, ah, man, I should do this or we could do that. Just because they have great ideas doesn't mean that they're the ones. And I think she has some really good ideas. I think some of the other stuff that she has done has already been questionable, but it is what it is. But she, you know, I just don't know if she has, you know, a lot of these people, and this is Sean Spicer is a perfect example. They're not ready for prime time. They're not camera ready. They're not camera friendly. And I think that's a big thing. And I look at Betsy DeVos and I think that, you know, and I don't know if she's, if all of the things that she wants to do, if she's capable of pulling those things off, if she's capable of bringing those things to fruition and getting those things implemented. I don't know if she is or isn't. But that's another person, though. And I think there are other people probably lower down the pecking order that may or may not be ready for prime time as well. But when you see things like the mooch and you see things like Spicer and you see things like that, it makes it difficult for somebody like Rex Tillerson, who's your Secretary of State, who has maybe the second most important job outside of being the president in our government. And when you look at situations like that, you start to question, does this administration have the right stuff to get things done? Do they have the right stuff to implement things? Can I trust this government, the people that I work with, my boss, to do the right thing? So you question that. And I think somebody like Rex Tillerson is a good guy, and I think he's got a great head on his shoulders. And I think even though he was a surprise pick who had never really met Donald Trump and Trump calls him out for all of those things, I think he has got a lot of huge potential to being an amazing Secretary of State, especially with his dealings in the Middle East and in Russia and several other places to get things done. And he's a no-nonsense kind of guy that's not big, brash, and bold, flies under the radar, gets stuff done. But then you start to ask yourself, is this all for naught? Because every, you know, I see what's going on elsewhere, and I start to wonder, can I trust these guys? Can I trust Trump? Can I trust these people to implement the things that we're trying to do here? I don't know. He took some time off last week. Why is that? I'm sure he's reflecting. Don't say that he's not. It's not just the bad that you don't want to lose, right? Like, you want to lose the bad. I want you gone. But you don't want to lose the good because of chaos. And that can happen. All of us have worked places where it's been horrible management. It's been run like crap. And there's chaos. And there's all kinds of stuff. And all of us have worked places. And then you leave. And they're like, why? You're like our best performer. You're this. It's because I can't stand it. It's this place is run so poorly. And that's the worry when you see stuff like this for me that has taken place over the first 6 months is poor management skills. And I'm not just blaming it all on Trump, but poor management skills across the board in this administration have led you to think, are we going to lose people like Tillerson and maybe some of the other ones out there who are just over it? Don't want the drama. Don't need the headache. Know that they're not going to be able to get things done the way they want to get things done. And that's as much a risk as anything else. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? Joey Chestnut, say what? He's the guy that wins the hot dog eating contest and everything. He ate 92 tacos. 92 tacos. In 8 minutes. 92 tacos in 8 minutes. And what did he get? He got $2,000. Do you think he has, like, appearances where he shows up and he shoves, like, 50 things in his mouth? You're like, ah. He's thin, too, old Chestnut. Look at that. Most of those competitive eaters are, the champions are thin. It's crazy. 92 tacos in 8 minutes. You do the math. Producer Phil, you're like, I felt horrible about eating 3/4 of a pizza this weekend.
I'm still feeling horrible.
I know. Isn't it weird? Like, you barbecue. Like, if you go out to dinner tonight and you're like, oh, okay, I'll get a hamburger. You get a hamburger. You barbecue, you're like, I'll have 4. What? Like, I made it myself, so I should eat as many as I want. That's just silly. It's like, that doesn't work that way. But that's how we do it. It's about choices, people. Choices. Here's something fun in the Say What Bizarre Weird department. If you're freaked out by clowns, listen to this.
The lobby is lined with clowns of all shapes and sizes and faces.
Well, I'm kind of surrounded by them. I kind of like this guy here.
They dangle above most of the beds. Visiting high school sports teams have been known to cover them with towels to avoid nightmares.
I love clowns. I've never had a problem with clowns.
It's called Clown Hotel. It's a hotel in Tonopah. Beautiful Tonopah. It's gorgeous. But there are clowns everywhere. Everywhere. The hotel is clowns. Say what? And we're in a world now where clowns are creepy. Clowns are everywhere, right? You got clowns all over the place. Like everywhere, right? We just fired a clown today at the White House. The mooch. Oh, it's the worst kind of clown. Not the mooch. Yeah, he's gone. But this is a hotel for clowns. And the owner, guess what? He loves clowns.
As you know, it's also called the scariest motel in the United States.
The clown opened 20 years ago. Perchetti retired from his state tourism job to create the clown with his late business partner. It was his idea to put a family clown collection just about everywhere.
He had a house full of clowns, and he decided to bring the clowns up and put them to work.
So he's got a hotel full of, and it's creepy, and it is a creepy hotel. And if you're scared of clowns, but you always want a thrill, it is something to do. It is great. And look, we're all kind of creeped out by clowns. I mean, a lot of us. I watched it last night. I watched a documentary about John Wayne Gacy because, you know, that's a fun thing to do on a Sunday night. I'm like, kids, gather around. This is a guy called John Wayne Gacy, and he's insane, and he was evil, and he was called Pogo the Clown. But with the internet, it grows and it grows and it grows.
The internet has helped its uniqueness grow in popularity. Ghost seekers come for the thrill. Clown lovers come for the clowns. It might be Tonopah's top draw. For Perchetti, it's work.
It's just like any job. I mean, it's something that you love or you hate. I've always loved this job.
I bet you have. I've loved it as well. Now, I would stay there. I don't really have a... I like that clowns freak people out, but they don't really freak me out. You know what makes... Clowns are more sad than anything. He's like, oh, you're sad. You're a sad person. Chad, that's not very nice. But he's selling the place, and I think I should buy it. I'm just not quite sure what I would do with it.
But after more than 20 years of running the Clown Motel, Perchetti says some big changes are on the horizon. He's putting the place up for sale.
A condition of the sale is the Clown Motel must keep its heritage. Upgrade it, Perchetti says, but don't lose what the people love, because he loves it too.
They became a way of life with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm for it, man. I got no problem with it. I do. And I can't wait to see it. And I know a lot of people don't want to. I got no problem. I like it. I like the creep factor. I do. I love the creepy factor. I got zero problems with say what. I like the fact that clowns, and most, there's a lot of you listening right now who creep out by clowns. And I get that because they can be kind of creepy. But I love it. I love it. I'd stay there. I would totally stay there. What team, what high school books there? Well, if you've ever been to Tonopah, there's not a lot there. There's nothing there. So you may have no choice. They have a high school. That's about it. Man, we got to do our show from there, Producer Phil. That'd be awesome.
I love it.
I love it. Let's do it. Text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Texter writes in, talking about the flag. Symbol of the flag represents, you know, why was I okay with the teacher saying it's okay if you didn't have to stand up? The Indianapolis school teacher who said at the beginning of the year, if you don't want to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance, you don't have to. Texter writes then, says, I agree with you, free thoughts and questioned authority, but everyone should pay tribute to our flag. And I asked him why. He says, because of the freedoms we currently have. And I said, those freedoms weren't provided by a flag. They were provided by soldiers, men and women who paid the ultimate price, sacrificed. That's it. And it represents a lot of things to a lot of different people. It doesn't always represent what you think it represents. To you, it might represent freedom. To you, it might represent something else. Doesn't always represent. I believe you should respect the flags of all countries, especially, you know, if you're an American, our country. 110%. You should respect it. And just because you maybe don't want to stand may not be because of the flag, maybe because what's inside of there. Maybe you're, you know, your family's atheist and you don't believe in God and shouldn't be anywhere. And, you know, who knows? But I think we often think it's a symbol. It is a symbol. But there were human beings behind that symbol that made it that symbol. And that's something I think we need to pay more attention to. Text the program 323-538-2423. Call us as well, 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. The mooch is gone. Say, what? Chad Benson Show.